720 WGN. Hey there, Amy Guth in with you tonight until 11 o'clock. We're hanging out. You know, everybody's here. It's a big party right now. Brian Altheimer's here. Joey Gelman's here. We're all hanging out. Mark Harmon allegedly is coming by at some point. It's all good. It'll be fun. So we're hanging out. We're in for Justin Kaufman tonight. You know what I would like to talk about now, gentlemen?
Okay.
That is the topic of New Year's resolutions. The reason I would like to talk about that is because I love them. But I always do them. Like every month I set my goals for the month. I'm a big list person and goals person. And then I break the goal down into little steps and I do them. And I have a whole spreadsheet. It's real complicated. I call it the scoreboard. It's a big thing. But then there are like the people who, God love them, really say, all right, I'm going to keep doing the thing I've been doing up until midnight on January or on December 31st. But on January 1st, I'm going to just magically change my ways.
Yeah.
I'll be different. But here's the thing. To get a different result, you have to do different things.
Yeah.
You can't do the same thing and get the same, get a different result. And so, Brian, I feel like you are, you might maybe can feel my pain on this one.
Ooh, well,
we cannot find a place at the gym because the treadmill is, the treadmills and like all the cardio is overrun by people for 2 or 3 weeks.
Am I right? Yeah. I purposely stay away from the gym, and I have 4 gyms total that I go to 4 different gyms just in case I'm in some part of the city and I need to get to the gym and get it in real quick. But I purposely stay away from the gym in the month of January and part of February because and we call them resolutioners.
Yeah.
Because they totally hog everything at the gym. And I've seen my share of treadmill accidents because I've seen people like going like,
treadmill accident.
Oh my God. Like people are going like super fast on the treadmills. They want to look like they're really doing some work. And you really don't have to go that fast on a treadmill to break a sweat. If you stay on it long enough, you're going to break a sweat if you're doing it right.
Well, that's the thing. I think once you've been going to the gym for a while, you know that, you know etiquette of putting a towel down and to wipe things off after you've been on them. And that you don't just hop on the treadmill and run as fast as you can. You say, I'm going to do cardio for 45 minutes or whatever. And you run at a pace that you can sustain. That, and you see people hop on and they just haul ass for 5 minutes and burn out or they fall off the treadmill or something like that.
Yeah.
Joey, what about you? Are you like a resolution guy? Are you the guy that joins the gym for a minute or are you a gym guy all the time?
I've been known to be the gym guy that joins for a minute, which probably isn't a good reputation to have. But I'd like to say the resolution is to go to the gym more, but I always find a way to just say, this day is not really feeling the gym anymore. And then it's a good effort, but then I never am able to follow through with it.
Okay, so
how do I do it?
A superpower of mine is sniffing out flaws in goals and resolutions. It's a weird one.
Wow.
And here's what it is. You just said the word more. So it's not really, you know what I mean? Like you can't measure that because you say go to the gym more. What is more? You got to say like, I'm going to go to the gym every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday or whatever. You got to say that because otherwise you don't know if you're winning it. Because if you're just like, I'm going to go to the gym more, you could go one time more than you did in 2016.
And which would be once a year.
There you go. So you could go twice and you've won. You've done it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I got to put numbers on it, put a routine on it.
Yeah,
make
and you got to
start. Real.
Yeah, you got to say like this week I'm going to go twice, but I'm going to work up to going 5 times a week or whatever.
Yeah. But I love your reference about the guy that runs 1,000,000 miles per hour on the treadmill because I just think of, you know, grade school gym where you're running the mile and the kid goes, I'm going to be the first one. And then he's dead in about 5 minutes of running.
Yeah. It's always one. Trust me. Every year it's always that one. It's always a guy.
Gym rat. Yeah.
It's always a guy. He's just going. And just, you know,
thank you for acknowledging it's always a guy.
It's always a guy.
Because it is.
And he just splats all over the floor.
Or you just wipe out. You just completely bonk out and your muscles don't work and you're done.
I think the worst I've ever seen, and this was about 3 years ago, I was going to a gym. And at one point, I went to the locker room because I left something in the locker room. And, you know, the personal hand dryers make their makes that noise, right?
I'm sure the listeners love
that. So I'm hearing that as I'm walking towards the locker room. And I get there and I see this guy. Like on a,
I'm cringing for whatever you're about to say.
He's on a stool, drying a part of his body that you're not supposed to dry with the hand. It wasn't his hands he was drying.
No,
right. He was drying that part of his body, and I'm like,
first of all, get a towel.
Right.
Second of all, oh my God.
Yes.
No.
Because you get people that, you know, they think they're in their own personal house, and if you use a hair dryer to dry that part of your body, then that's cool.
I'm done with this part of the conversation right now. But you have inspired a little bit of a sidebar, and that is workplace gyms. There's a lovely gym here at Tribune Tower.
Oh, yeah.
I used it for years, but I would make a point to use it at a weird hour of the day, because you use it early in the morning, right after work, or right in the middle of the day during lunch. There's a lot of people down there, which is fine. I don't mind. Like, you know, I would even say sometimes, like, hey, instead of having that meeting that we're just the two of us are going to have, why don't we just go hop on treadmills
and
just get some exercise, since we're both going to be at the gym anyway. That's fine. Well, where it gets creepy and starts to break down for me is I don't need to see my coworkers naked.
Yeah.
And you know, people have different levels of modesty. Like, I don't care. I don't have hangups. I mean, whatever. But also, I'm gonna cover myself in front of my coworkers.
Yeah.
You know, politely go into the little changing area, because it's, you know, you might be in a meeting with that person in a minute.
Right.
But I feel like every workplace that has a gym, there's always a conversation going around about that one person who just doesn't care, who will like go and talk to you and put on deodorant and makeup or whatever while totally naked. Just like, okay, well, this is changing our working relationship because you're just standing there naked.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
that's
a sidebar.
That is a no-go for me. If we're in the locker room, you have to have some kind of towel talking to me. Don't talk, just come just full out to me. But
right. Yeah, pretty much. If you're going to have a conversation, just like.
Especially a work conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't preview your meeting when no one's wearing clothes. That'd be a little
weird. Only people you can have a conversation with while naked are the following.
Yeah.
Art students who are drawing you. Photographers or videographers if you are an adult, you know, film star or model. Your significant other or significant others, whatever, right? Like, that's it. That's really about it.
Yeah.
It pretty much ends there. Otherwise, you need to put on clothes. That's what I say. Anyway, we've gotten far away from the topic of New Year's resolutions. We are going to take a little break. Amy Guth in for Justin Kaufman. We'll be right back. When we come back, though, I would love to hear about your New Year's resolutions. Let's declare them and make them official and hold each other accountable, right? 720 WGN. I kind of like that as theme music right there. Hi there. This is Amy Guth in for Justin Kaufman. And as I said, when we came back from the last break, it's kind of this like rotating guests of WGN fun party time here. And now Mark Harmon's here with me.
I got to say, I have never seen Amy Guth. I've never seen you dance the way you just danced to a little Michael Jackson. I like that on you. It looks good on you. You had a nice flavor to you right there. A little
making it weird. No, in nighttime radio, you got to keep it, you know, festive, and you got to keep it energized. So I'm all about the dancing at nighttime radio.
I absolutely agree. I could use more Michael Jackson. When you got Joey Gelman, I mean, the king of sound.
I feel so pimp right now because we've got like three producers here.
Gelman,
like,
is
we're big stars right now. Not really.
You're a huge star. I'm happy to be here. Gelman is my hero.
Yeah.
And great to be in here, Amy. I was just in a. I just got to tell my story real quick.
Yeah, tell me.
I get the last minute. Can you go say
hi? Yeah, the bat signal came up for us tonight.
Right, and so I, you know, was end of the workout. I raced through the shower. I'm coming here. I can't just come right out of the shower. I got to be fresh.
Bless you.
Right. I can't find my wallet after I'm in a full panic. Like, this thing's gone. I must have left my locker open. Somebody must have just went back pocket, jeans, rip, and just, you know, leave the gym. And I mean, how am I going to get out? Like, my car is the garage, the whole thing. Like,
how am I going to get in here even?
How am I going to get in? All the things are going on. I go back. I'm looking around. My wallet is like just peeking out, like buried amongst 10 white towels. I got the black wallet in there. I'm like, I went full makeout session wallet. And then
right.
And then I raced over to see you. So
great.
Glad
you're
to
here.
Be here. That was nerve wracking, but now I'm calm. I felt like I needed to share my
losing
story.
Losing your wallet or keys
right?
is like a panic because you can't, or your phone. You can't do anything without those things. You need those things.
See, that's the thing. Like, which is the worst? Like, wallet, everything's replaceable. Hopefully you don't have a lot of money in it. Phone.
Don't worry, I don't.
No, there you go. Me neither. Phone, I mean, those are all your contacts. Somebody like myself, that's not, I don't know how that's backed up. I don't know where that's backed up. I don't know. You know, that's a whole thing. Keys, you can't get in.
Yeah, it's all bad.
Like, if you're a single person, like, how do I get in? That's, so that's.
I have locked myself out of my apartment and been like, and it was late. I was doing really late radio. I think I was in for Patty Vasquez or something. And I had to, like, call my building super.
Right.
Late, like at 2:30 in the morning, and I was like, "Hi,
hey, it's Amy.
Could you let me in?"
Well, at least you have a building super. I mean, I'm in the there's no building super in the ghetto land that I'm at. Three flat.
It's a three flat, but nonetheless, there's
okay.
a building super.
Oh, okay.
So, before you came in, we were talking about New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make them? Because I'm a big goals person.
Me too. I don't necessarily make them at New Year's, but now that you're bringing it up, I will make New Year's resolutions right now. Absolutely. Let's make some New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
I have a ton.
And if you would like to share New Year's resolutions with us, declare them for all to hear. Maybe that will help hold you accountable. 312-981-7200. Give us a call and we'll talk all about it.
And we will take, I will personally take down your information and we can have like weekly calls.
Wow.
I mean,
you're going to regret that when 200 people call.
I'm looking for friends. If you, and I need account. Like, you can be accountable to me. I'll be accountable to you.
That's a good system.
Right?
Those are good. I like the accountability stuff. That's good.
Yeah, because I can't do it for myself. Like, that's one of my, it's one of my blind spots.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I would be an extrovert
slash
that's introvert.
That's why.
Yeah, I'm more of an extrovert. But I it's hard. I'm going to get up tomorrow at 6 and go to the gym. Well, it would help if somebody was calling me at 6 and there was an actual logic on. If you don't, that's,
I'll be disappointed in you.
Or that's or that's $50 to whatever charity or
there's
something.
There's an app that will, I'll look it up on the next break, but there's an app that will essentially, you pick the charities you don't want to donate to.
Ooh.
And so it's like, if you do not get up and log time at the gym, you have just donated however much. And it's not a ton. You can set the amount. I think it's like $5 up to 50. But you can say, you know, this will be donated to, say, a political party I don't like or an organization I'm morally opposed to or whatever.
Yeah.
It will be donated in your name if you do not go and do the thing you say you will do.
Well, that's, see, the more things that are being invented, we're never going to have to talk to each other. Well, my app is, I'm accountable to my app. Like, I'm never going to talk to you again, Amy.
Bye.
In about 5 years, it's going to be over. I'll just have my app and everything. We're all going to be computerized. But that's cool. I like that suggestion right there. I love how you know these things. It's impressive.
You know, I know those things. I'm into apps and stuff. But it's really, to me, I'm always into productivity apps. I'm always looking at those because I might even be productivity obsessed. I have like monthly goals. And then I break them all down by steps. I have yearly goals. I call it the scoreboard, like a big spreadsheet. We were talking about this a little bit earlier.
Are you in?
But
the...
does juggling all those productivity apps actually make you less productive?
I mean,
it
sometimes,
would seem like keeping those things all lined up would be a bit confusing.
Sometimes, and so what I do is at first I was into all of them and I would go all in on the app, and then finally I said, you know what, there's too much of a learning curve while I learn the app. So I just kind of look at other systems and then just kind of take what works for me. Like Pomodoro. I love Pomodoro.
What's Pomodoro?
Pomodoro is essentially you divide your time into 25-minute blocks.
Okay.
And you say, this task is going to take me 3 Pomodoros.
Okay.
And I just think of that as pasta sauce.
Also that. And you don't stop until you've done the task. You just keep going at it. But you count how long you've done it. The idea is teaching yourself how long things really take, because I'm not great at that. I'll be like, oh, I can do this, 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 and this, and this today, when I'm like, wait, that's like 17 hours of stuff.
In my world, that's time chunking.
I'm gonna
chunk here for 25, and my goal is to get this done, and we're going to revisit in 25 minutes how much I did.
Yeah, and basically,
And how distracted I got, and how, you know, the whole thing. And,
all the things.
Right, all the things.
Turn notifications off. That's A.
Yeah. This is good.
This is good. I think this just became the nerdiest 3 minutes of radio we've had.
No, I think I personally think we're helping people. I feel helped. I like that. Now, Pomodoro, time chunking,
well, like
visioning.
The batch process. I like that. Like kind of that, the time chunk. It's okay. Like, I'm going to, like, I know on Tuesdays in the morning, I'm always going to work on certain projects.
Okay.
And on Wednesdays, I'm always going to do this. And Thursdays, I'm always going to do this. So, like, Tuesday's my big admin day. I do all the, like, you know, the stuff you got to, like, stuff you got to fill out and sign and all that kind of, like, administrative stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's my Tuesday. I'm all about that on Tuesday. And that way, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to, I don't have to risk procrastinating. I just go. Tuesday, I got to do all this stuff.
What does your apartment look like?
It is very tidy.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very clean. I can't sleep with a dirty apartment. No way.
Like, you don't have even piles of stuff. Like, would you have a pile? Would you have a pile of 10 papers? Like,
no
way. Like, you wouldn't have, like, your insurance bill here, your, I don't know, some newsletter underneath that, and then whatever else. That would never happen.
I mean, when I get it out of the mail,
yes.
And then I'll set it all there, and I'll kind of triage it and go, this crap goes to the recycling bin, this crap I need to deal with, and then I'll put it in a little, there's a folder for Tuesday.
We need to hang out more. You could make my life better, Amy. That's a true statement. I don't, I mean, walk in the door, the mail goes on the floor. And I mean,
well, but right now, and we'll talk about this in just a bit because we got to take a break, but right now it's end of the year, so I am kind of like pulling stuff out of, like dumping drawers out and going through and,
oh, wow.
And like
doing all that.
Cleaning the KonMari system. Woo, that's some heady stuff. We'll talk about that in just a bit. We're going to take a break. Amy Guth, Mark Harmon, in for Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman. We're hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Happy to be with you and grateful to you for spending part of your evening with us. So before the break, we were talking about productivity. We were going down a rabbit hole of
we were talking about how nerdy
productivity.
Yeah, but we were talking about how you make your life better, how you reach your largest potential, how you get to live the dream that you so much want to live, but sometimes you're just afraid to step into it. That's what we're talking about, Amy, in my mind.
Yeah.
You were creating processes to live your vision, to have your dream.
You got to.
Right?
It doesn't just show up. You got to create process and put effort into it.
Right. Isn't that unfortunate? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just be like, you know what? I want to do this, and it just happens. But some people are process people, so I guess what I'm trying to say. Like, they love the process. They love, like, say, there's certain athletes out there. They love working out and just getting in the gym and building it. And then there's others who just want to show up and do it.
Like, well, but like, then there are subcategories of process people, because I'm not really a process person, but I'm also just not a show up and get it person either. I want to get through the process as simply, as easily, and painlessly as possible, and as efficiently as possible. So that's the thing that has me obsessed, is efficiency. Because I don't want to, because I know so many people that have been writing the novel for 20 years, have been doing the thing for a decade. Like, just do it. Just at some point, you have to sit down and do the work. And so to me, the process keeps momentum, because momentum is important.
Is there anything in your life that you procrastinate?
Let me think about what that is. Well, I got a piece of art I have not hung up yet.
You have one piece of art that you haven't hung up yet.
Well, it's a big, complicated piece of art, and it's in four sections, so you got to measure it exactly, and that just sounds like, ugh.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, like, that's incredible. The one thing in your life you haven't done is hang up.
I have a couple of burned out light bulbs.
You have a couple of burned out light bulbs.
Yeah. They're not essential ones. They're, like, in the hall.
Right.
They're not, like, I won't fall into anything.
Now, how would you say you learned this? Like, where did Amy Guth create this structure for herself? Like, when you were 8 years old, Amy, did you have...
I've always been that way.
Right. That's what I'm...
I was born that way. In fact, my parents used to say there are mama's boys and daddy's girls, and Amy Guth was her very own from the start. My parents say that all the time.
Interesting.
Like, well, I was born self-possessed.
You learned it from something, or like...
I know. I had to learn it from something.
Right.
I don't know. How about you? Why are you the way you are?
Good question. I just think that I was always just somebody who, like, had fun in the moment. It was kind of entertaining. Like, as far as, like, sitting there and, like, creating structure, like, I couldn't sit still in first and second grade. I wanted to run out to recess. Like, I'd make up every single line in the book to get outside.
Well, structure is, I find it super oppressive. When someone tells me I have to do something a certain way, I'm like, nah, pass. But if it's my process I create, then I'm all over it. So to me, it's about, like, being controlled, being oppressed,
and,
right?
And that makes sense. Like, we got authority issues going on right there, right? Like, hey, don't tell me what to do. I will.
I'm sure the listeners are fascinated by by psychoanalyzing me right now.
Well, I look at it like I think it's amazing how people get to where they are, and I think what you're talking about, like how do you construct your day, like that's something that's ingrained for a long time. Like that's hard for somebody to change and be like, okay, I'm going to turn into structure person.
No, I don't think you can change that.
It's very hard.
And I think you also have to honor. Are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? Are you what? Like, you have to honor that. I fought being an introvert for a very long time. And at the end of the day, I'm an introvert that fakes extrovert really well. Doesn't fake it. Like, I play extrovert really well.
Well, you are on the radio right now.
Right.
Which is a very extrovert type of thing.
In a way. But it also, I'm speaking to listeners one at a time. I'm speaking to a co-host one at a time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I know I charge my batteries by downtime by myself and doing my own thing and, you know, tidying up my house and do my laundry, things like that, that recharges my batteries and resets me.
Right.
Where it's very depleting to me is like going to an event and schmoozing a bunch of people. It's fun and I enjoy meeting all the people. But it, like, if I do more than one of those a week, I'm like, oh man, I gotta hide for a week.
So at the end of that night, you're like, oh my God, get me out of here.
No, I just know when I'm done.
Okay.
I'm like, I go and I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I talk to these folks and then, you know, I'll mill around and talk to people. And I mean, I don't have any qualms about walking up to a stranger and being like, hey, how are you? What are you doing here? How are you connected to this event? That doesn't bother me at all. So I think people misinterpret introvert as shyness when it's really not about shyness or not shyness. It's about what depletes you and what feeds you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like there's like, to me, there's like nourishment in both. If that makes sense, you know, like, oh, I'm not a structure person, but actually now I'm like, I'm implementing some of it in my life. And, oh, it feels actually good that I'm actually able to now, I'm going to be at this place at 7 o'clock and I'm going to do this work till 8. And then I leave out of there. It's like, oh my God, it feels like really good that I just did that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like, and then, but it, like the other side of it's historically like, oh, I want to go out and play, and then I feel great from that. But so it's like you kind of learn that you can get benefits from both sides. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you also got to honor that. Sometimes if you've got like something tugging at you saying, I really want to go do this and not do this work, sometimes that's a sign of you're not doing the right work.
Yeah. No.
Sometimes, you know, and sometimes we make ourselves make terrible life choices because we're not doing the thing we really want in our heart of hearts.
That's, I hear that. Know? Climbing uphill is tough.
It is true.
Yeah.
My friends, we got to take a break.
We're
going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about, I got a list for you.
Okay.
I got a list about the 10 things that successful people do. So we're going to see how we measure up to that.
Great.
We're going to talk about that.
I'm optimistic. Highly optimistic, Amy.
Or at least people who are on their way to being very successful.
Moderately scared.
That's right. Indeed. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. What do you mean? 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman. We're hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. You know, before the break, we were talking about, well, we were talking super nerdily about productivity and systems. And I don't know, we were going down a rabbit hole is what. But I have a list here. There's this great blog called Barking Up the Wrong Tree. Go to that. And there is a list of, it is called 10 things the most successful people do every day.
Can't wait. I'm taking notes. Let's hear it.
Let's see. Have a mindful morning ritual is number one.
Mindful?
Do you do that?
No. I get up and I say, okay, got to go do this again. Mindful morning ritual. Do you do that?
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a big yoga person.
Big, okay. Yoga in the morning. What time is that yoga?
I'm an early bird. So pretty early. I mean, my yoga place has one at 7 a.m. When I can, I make it to that. But if not, I just do it at home.
Okay.
If I'm not up at like 6:15, which I usually am, I'm pretty early.
Like, you're going to get off the air tonight at 11. What time will you wake up in the morning?
I can't sleep in. Even if like last week I was filling in for Patty Vasquez and I would go to bed at like 4. I was still up at like 7:30 or 8.
And all day?
I take a nap. Okay. But I mean, I don't play around with sleep.
Okay.
Anyway, so I like that one. And I think that one's super important. Next on this list, the mouse doesn't work. Here we go. scrolling. They turn their weaknesses into strengths. Do you do that?
Turn their weaknesses into strengths.
turn into like a competitive advantage.
Give me an example.
Well, I think there's power in, say, what you think your obvious weakness is, or what the, like, here's a way to explain it. When you're trying to make a persuasive case to someone, if you know they're going to come back and say, like, point out a flaw that you have, you can preempt it and help kind of shape that narrative a little bit.
I work too hard. I mean, like, that's what would happen in a job interview. Well, I'm a compulsive worker. I just, you know, I never like to turn it off.
That's not a real thing.
To some people, I think they go with that. What's your strength? Well, I'm overly focused. Like, they'll say something like that, and I'm like, no, you're not. Give me a real weakness.
I would call BS on that.
See? So would I. But I think people go with that. Like, if somebody asks you in a job interview, what are your weaknesses, Amy?
I'm too awesome.
That, right.
That's what I'd say.
I'm too talented, right.
No, I would say, and I have been asked that in a job interview, and I said, one of my weaknesses is also a strength, and that is that I'm my own worst critic.
Okay.
And so that can drive me to keep going sometimes and get to the finish line, but sometimes that can also make me really beat myself up.
Right. That's a great one. That's a tremendous answer. I'm writing that down, and I'm going to keep that for the next time I'm asked that. Not that I have any job interviews coming up here. But you never
say,
know.
What just happened?
I'm writing that down. I feel that's a trick question. What are your weaknesses? Excuse me? I have none. I'm perfect. I do incredible work. I'm amazing. You want to hire me. Like, what are you even saying that
job interviews are so ridiculous because they're full of questions that you have to answer in a certain way.
I'm legit looking for advice on that 312-981-7200. What are you saying that moment? What are your weaknesses? What can you do better? I mean, for me, I'm like, I'm organization, I'm terrible. And then, like, okay, not hiring you. That's what happens. What else? I'm immature. I act like a 10-year-old. Okay, not hiring you again.
Like, again, not hiring you.
Right. Okay, continue on. What else do successful people do? Things that I don't do.
I'm scrolling because some of these, you know, let's see. There's lots. I'm scrolling. This is a long list, and it's written in a giant font is what's happening.
This is all big. It's all a big trick here, Amy. That's what's going on. 312-981-7200. If you're successful, we want to hear from you. What do you do? How did you get to your position in life? I want to take notes. I want full disclosure. You've already gotten there, so you're just sharing. You're giving back. Look at it like it's a holiday gift for all the WGN listeners.
Knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, so here's one that's on the list that I think is really good, and that's to pick the five people you hang around with the most. Pick them very carefully.
Yep.
That's a very big one.
I agree. Who do you surround yourself with? Who's in your circle?
Yeah, because I think sometimes people feel, I think a lot of people have kind of that friend that's maybe particularly needy or particularly self-involved, you know, like makes it about them, and you just kind of like, well, he or she's in a rough place, I'm being a good friend, you know, but that can drag you down with it. You know, I think people in a bad place will do like a drowning person and pull the lifeguard in with them.
Yep.
Big time.
I completely agree. It's that's why Spicoli hangs out with Spicoli. Nothing wrong with Spicoli. I love Spicoli, but Spicoli hangs out with a bunch of Spicolis, and you see that all over the place.
Fair.
Super type A people, they hang out with super type A people. They don't know how to relax. What do they do for fun? How do they dial it down?
I don't think you need to be around people like you. I think the point is that you have to surround yourself with people of the quality of people you want to be around.
Right. But people that are doing that five lot wrong, they're hanging out with a lot of people that are just like themselves. You need a little.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. You need to mix it up.
Yes, you need some diversity. You need people around you that you look up to.
Yeah. Okay, here's one.
That's why I hang out with you, Amy.
I thank you. Here's the one on the list that I do, that I really enjoy doing. And it is number 10, get a jar of awesome. And that is like, keep track of your wins or your gratitude or whatever. I have if you go to Instagram and look at the hashtag, the hell yes jar, there's pictures of, I have this giant half gallon jar. And every day I put at least one piece of paper in there declaring what I'm grateful for, what was just really awesome that day, something like that. And everything gets its own piece of paper. I don't put like seven things on one paper. If I need to put 10 pieces of paper in there that day, it's a good day, and I will. And then at the end of the year, I dump the jar out and I start going through them and look at them. And it's I love doing it, but I especially love the year end part of it, of going back through it. And you're like, oh my gosh, that thing happened. I forgot about that thing in February. That was so great. Or, oh, that was right. So-and-so did that favor for me. I haven't talked to her in a while. I should give her a call. It's lovely. It is gratitude twice, because you feel it if you feel gratitude when it happens, you feel gratitude again that evening when you're writing it down. And then at the end of the year, you get to experience it all over again.
Well, you're also making it real. I love that. That's fantastic. I'd like to.
How do you mean?
Well, first of all, like, people, you go through your day, right? And it just happened, and you don't really, nobody sits back and thinks about, you know, what actually did go on today. And then what you're doing is you're taking a minute. Oh, I can celebrate that. That's cool. And then you get to remember it again. There's a nice little gooey moment, and then you're putting it in the jar, and then you're going to and as you just said, you relive it at the end of the year. And that's like a whole celebration of yourself. I love that. I love that, Amy. Good job.
Thanks. Do you do that? Do you do something like that?
No.
Do you journal?
No.
What do you do? Mark Harmon, what do you do?
What do I, as far as what we're talking about right now, I mean, I do like once a week, I do a whole itinerary of what went on.
And you reflect over your week.
Yes, I have a bunch of questions that I answer each week. It's sort of like a weekly check-in type of thing.
All right.
But I rarely go back over it. 312-981-7200, make your life better, make our lives better, make my life better.
Thank you. Mark, you're on WGN.
Hi. Love listening to you guys. It's just like overhearing a conversation in a local bar.
Thank you. Pull up a bar stool.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have about success?
You know, I'm a coach, and I guess my thing has been a couple of the things: get some good mentors, or don't be afraid to take advice from people that are good, that are as successful. Watch them, observe. And I think that kind of folds into a lifelong learning aspect, because, you know, sometimes, and it's a cliche, I suppose, to direct at young people, but sometimes young people at about the age of 30, whatever the profession is, I've learned it. I know it. And, you know, I coached up until my 60s and kept going to clinics every year and learning and just trying to keep making yourself better and better.
Yeah. I so agree with that, Mark. My grandfather's nearly 100 years old, and he said one of the things that he credits with longevity, he said it's being a lifelong student. He said, I'm always trying to learn something new, and that keeps his brain going.
I totally agree. And I think the other thing is, and it's just a branch of that, is, and you've mentioned the self-reflection. And, you know, I get a kick out of sometimes in the media, they'll talk about, you know, whether it was Joe Madden or whatever. And, you know, every coach, every person, I think, that's successful second guesses themselves. It doesn't mean that you are totally indecisive, but you're always thinking, what would have happened if I would have done B or C instead of A? And that's, I think, a part of learning. Probably it's the part that concerns me about our president-elect, but we won't go there.
Right, that's okay. That's another segment.
I like what you're talking about there, Mark, because, you know, people say, like, there's this whole thing out there right now. To me, what you were talking about made me think about anxiety, and I have fear, so I need a pill, or I can't do that. Where, in reality, like, if you start feeling that, it's probably exactly where you want to go. It's where you want to ask that question. It's exactly what you want to do, because you're getting excited, really, and people get stopped by that. And for what you were talking about, what made me think about that is, you know, you're saying you're continuing to learn, and you're asking questions, you're opening your mouth, and so then you're getting stuff that you didn't know because you're engaging. So I just like I like the way you're approaching, man. That's what I was hearing from you.
Well, I appreciate the intelligent discussion and intelligent radio that you guys are providing. It's just, it's really good. Enjoy it.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Have a great night.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on in and be as nice as Mark? You're more than welcome.
I know. We didn't even have to pay that guy, and he said those nice things.
I mean, it was my. I think I might be slightly related to Mark. I'm not. That was really nice of Mark.
That was nice. I appreciate it. That was nice. Actually, I love the part where he said, I love that he said it felt like just overhearing conversation in a bar. I like that.
Well, you made a great point, though. You want to pick people that you respect, that you look up to, be it your boss or...
You can't pick your boss.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you kind of can, but sometimes you don't have... That's
it doesn't have to be your boss. You might hate your boss. You might think your boss is a complete moron. I mean, that's possible, too. But, like, whoever... It could be somebody... It doesn't have to be... I don't have to make it stature. I'm just saying there's people that are in your life that you see doing things that you respect. You want to get to know them more. That's all I'm going with.
Yeah, and, gosh, I have a rant about mentorship. I don't know if I can do it in 1 minute before we go to break.
Do it after nine.
I'm going to have to save it.
I'm interested.
Because I have a lot to say about how to approach a mentor.
Okay.
That I really want to get off my chest. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman. We're going to take a little break, get you up to news, all that good stuff here in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman tonight, hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. Most grateful to you for that. All right, Mark, I said right before the break that I had a little bit of a rant about mentorship, and I got to get it off my chest.
I'm excited, Amy.
Well, so here's the thing. A lot of, and I think this, you know, in our youth, we perhaps are not our most confident in some ways, and in some ways we're overconfident, right? When you're straight out of school, you think you know everything. Mm-hmm. But in other ways, perhaps not. So when asking for help, and I think this is super important, and I'm sure there are people listening that perhaps are mentoring a young person or something, but there are key things here. I get a lot of requests from people asking, hey, can I, this, here it is, meet you for coffee and pick your brain. Like if I said yes to all of them, which I would love to do, it would be more than a full-time job.
Yeah, people want to hang out with you that way. There's a certain level of respect that they have that you should just feel good about.
I'm not even saying that. I mean, I'm flattered by it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying...
I get that. That doesn't surprise me that those requests come in. Go ahead.
But here's the thing. Just tell me what it is you actually want. Like, let me go into it knowing, because I get this feeling every time, and this sounds so cruddy, I hate even saying this, but it's like I get the feeling sometimes when you read these, it's like people don't recognize, like you're asking, and I've asked people for their knowledge and to fill knowledge gaps for me, but I always make it very clear what that is, and I always make it very clear I'm asking them not to spend some of their free time on me. I know that I'm asking them to move something else more important, and I know that.
Right.
And so I ask accordingly. So it's like, hey, when you're not busy, can I pick your brain for coffee? What do you need?
Right.
Because if it's really just like, I want to learn about radio. I want, you know, if it's a young person, like I just studied radio and I want to learn about that. Well, let's go here. Let's do it.
So when somebody asks you that,
I need to know up front what, okay, like make the ask. And that trickles. I mean, that might be a cultural moment we're in, because that trickles into PR, too. I see a lot of press releases that just end with thoughts, ?
Well, do you respond back with what is it that you're interested in?
I do. I say, hey, I'd love to do that, but I have some rules for myself because I want to make the most of both of our 15 minutes, because it's never 15 minutes. It's always an hour. You know, let's talk about what it is you're looking for and how you think I can best help you. Because sometimes I'm not the right person. If they're like, well, I want to get into this field and do this, I'm like, I've never done that in radio, actually. So what you want to do is talk to an engineer who does know about that part of it.
Right.
It's about the efficiency with which I am obsessed.
So what you're coaching people to do right now is to narrow their focus. Figure out exactly.
I'm just saying, say the thing. Just say the thing.
Well, sometimes people don't know. They legit.
And that's fine, but say that.
Okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure. I just look up to you. So I want to hang out with you. Well, how would you respond to that?
First, I'd say, get out of here, Mark Harmon. No, I don't. That never happens. There's always a thing. And it's disheartening to like go to coffee and hear about what someone's been doing. And like, well, that all sounds really good. Okay, well, take care. And you can tell they really want to ask you something. And then they're like, oh, will you give my resume to your boss? I'm like, well, we could have saved a lot of time. Right.
All right. You want people to be more direct.
I value directness quite a bit.
Yes, you do. Which is a great quality, being able to, but there's also, you know, people are just scared to be direct. They're worried they're going to get rejected. They're worried that it could cause perhaps a fight. Maybe
I think mostly people are afraid of asking for. I think deep down at their core, and this is perhaps a little woo woo, but I think people are afraid of actually believing they deserve what they're asking for.
I think that's a great one. There's a self confidence issue going on.
Like deep down, you're like, I don't know if I really deserve. So they'll say like. If you're like, well, what's your goal? Well, I feel silly saying, why? Why do you feel silly? You feel silly if you don't think you totally deserve that thing.
Right. Lack of confidence. Sure.
I wish I had a little audio right now of Troy McClure from The Simpsons, because there's a bit, get confident, stupid, right? There's the best little, all of his films had like good motivational names anyway.
312-981-7200. I think we've hit on what are your pet peeves in dealing with people that want to be a part of your lives. That's, I think, what we just hit there.
Thanks for making me sound like a terrible person.
That's not a terrible person. Everybody has their pet peeves. You're allowed to have your pet peeves. 312-981-7200. I mean, hey, Amy, you don't. And by the way, how are you at saying no?
Great.
No. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's an important quality too. A lot of people are just nonstop rescuers, right? What do you need? How can I help you? Yes, I'm going to let you suck me dry, and then I'm going to have no energy to focus on myself or whatever I actually have to get done because I'm going to take care of you, right?
Or I think what happens a lot of times when people are very passionate about what they do, it's a matter of saying yes because it does legitimately sound fun, like the project or the thing. And it's not necessarily about rescuing, but sometimes it's just like, wow, that sounds really fun. But I have to be honest, I don't have the bandwidth for it now, but I will in the spring or whatever. I think that's an important thing to say.
Right. Okay. Keeping in line with what's most important at that time is key. Mm-hmm. I get sidetracked on that too. It'll be perhaps this would never happen nowadays, but maybe at some point in my radio career, like if I say I had a show and somebody's like, hey, you want to go to lunch? Well, yes.
You blow off a show?
No, I wouldn't blow off the show, but now I'm sucking into my prep time, right?
Oh, no.
See, sacred. Right?
No way. That's sacred. Sacred.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people, let's say you wake up in the morning and how are you starting your day? Okay? People nowadays, right? They wake up. What's the first thing they do?
I don't know. I don't sleep. With all the people. I don't know.
I'm not sleeping with all the people.
I'm not sleep with sex. I mean, stay in the house with them. I don't know people's morning rituals.
I'm speculating that the first thing people do in the morning is they wake up, they pick up their phone, and bam, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
And that's okay.
Mm.
No, you can't make a blanket statement like that because if you go there for a purpose, it depends on your profession. It depends on what you're going there for. If you're just going there to look.
Yeah.
If you're just going there to look, that's one thing. Right, but if you're a journalist and you're like, hey, I need to be on top of news.
Didn't we say like 38 minutes ago that having a morning routine is important?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm saying that a lot of people don't have that. And the first thing they do is, bam, they're into social media and then they're down the rabbit hole and
but
then they're
I'm
late
saying,
for work.
I'm saying allow for the possibility that checking in on the outside world is part of someone's morning routine. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine. But then it has to have what you were talking about earlier, a certain time chunk. By the way, I'm talking about myself here.
I was going to say, when you start saying it has to and they have to, you're always talking about yourself. You are always talking about yourself.
I am talking about myself. Bang, I'm down on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm here, I'm there, and okay, now I got to get in the shower, and I've got 16 minutes to get out of the house and get to work, and it's over.
But what do you do on Facebook stops your life?
Absolutely.
You're just looking at stuff.
Yeah, what are the stories? I find something that's interesting, I click on that, I'm reading about this thing, that thing, or whatever. And then
I'm kind of hurt that you never hit like on any of anything I post if you're always on Facebook.
I don't think that, is that true? I never like any of your stuff?
No.
I don't think I see you in my feed all that often, to be honest.
I think you blocked me.
Did I block Amy Goo?
That's fine.
I'm double. Now I got to check.
Now I got to check. Now that I've called you out in public for blocking me.
That's interesting that you know that I don't like your stuff, Amy. That's I feel seen, but yet, and now I got to apologize.
Got to analyze everything, don't we?
Yes, we do. This is part of the fun. I love it.
Yeah. On that note, we're going to take a little break. Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for what?
Are we still friends? Or is this, are we?
It's fine. We're good. It's fine.
Okay,
Lord.
I got nervous.
It's fine. Anyway, Amy Guth and Mark Harmon.
Are you on Instagram too?
Yeah, I'm on all the platforms. I'm trying to go to break here. In for Justin Kaufman. We'll be back in a minute. 720 WGN. WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman tonight. Hanging with you till 11. Thanks for being with us. We've been talking about, well, all kind of things. All kind of things tonight.
We're getting deep, Amy. That's what's happening on the show. I feel depth.
I guess. So, you know what? We were talking a little bit about social media earlier. And there is kind of a fun and funny thing, there's like a trend going on in social media right now on Facebook where people are asking, essentially, you air an unpopular opinion that I think is super funny. And people are coming up with them with I haven't responded to anybody in any of them because I can never really think of the thing. And then I start reading the comments. I'm like, oh, I agree with that. Oh, so I'm hitting like on a lot of them. But I don't know that I've come up with a super original one on my own. What about you? Do you have an unpopular opinion to air?
Unpopular opinion. Well, a bunch are floating around.
Because you know what I mean, right? Like if, say, a lot of people love a particular show, you can be like, I just don't like Game of Thrones or whatever. You can like confess.
Right. Okay.
312-981-7200 if you have an unpopular opinion to express, let's do this.
Interesting. All right. Unpopular opinion. Well, I probably have a bunch.
I think you do.
Let's see. Well, number one, I think that New Year's in itself, I don't know how unpopular it is, but New Year's is just one gigantic overrated day.
That's an unpopular opinion.
New Year's Eve is just so much pressure. What are you going to do? Everything costs more. Then you've got the awkwardness of midnight. It's just, there's a whole pain.
It's only awkward if you don't have a date.
Well, that's the situation that I'm always in. So what's going to happen? Who am I going to, and like, it's a thing that I'm willing to avoid on New Year's. Like, how do I hide out on New Year's? But then you can't hide out on New Year's because then you feel like
a shut-in.
Right.
You feel bad.
Like the greatest New Year's Eve moment ever happened in a movie when Billy Crystal just decided that he was going to run to the party and kiss Meg Ryan and they were going to live happily ever after. Wasn't that nice?
Beautiful. But that said, one of my favorite New Year's Eves ever, I mean, I have a bunch because I like New Year's Eve. One that I really liked was this year that it was very cold outside, so like colder than usual.
Yeah, and the other thing, it's freezing. Go ahead.
And some friends and I just decided we were all just going to kind of stay in and hang out. And we wrote out some kind of like wishes for the year ahead. And then we wrote out things we wanted to let go of for the year that was closing out. And we like burned those things in the fireplace. We wrote these lists like, I'm not going to do this thing anymore. Like one person was trying to quit smoking. So he wrote down like cigarettes and he threw it in the fireplace. Like it's done. It's over. And it was so fun. And we had like little sparklers and we were on the balcony and it was just like, I don't know, maybe six or eight people. It was really fun and chill and lovely. And we had nice food and good music and some champagne. And it was just lovely.
I have an outside chance of doing something fun for New Year's this year.
An outside chance.
Yes. Not as fun as what you just detailed. It's an outside shot.
But I agree with you. Like the bar package, the
right,
the big, loud, clubby thing, that's not super fun.
Do you want to go to this bar for $150? It's all you can drink and there'll be cheeseburgers. And some
drinking holidays. I don't love
this. And some mini hot dogs. 815 texting again. I'm from the South Side. Love ketchup on my hot dogs.
That's testify. That's cool. That's fine with me.
That's a terrible.
I don't have a strong opinion about that.
I do. You should be banned from the city. But I appreciate you being honest there. 815. That's great.
815. I support you.
815. You probably put mustard on a hamburger.
What's wrong with that? What do you put on a burger?
Burger is ketchup, grilled onions.
Here's the thing. You can put all the condiments you want on all the foods.
You can have mustard with the ketchup on a burger for a little spice, but you can't just have mustard.
Spice?
No. Yes. Well, you know, like a brown mustard.
What's happening?
Brown mustard is a spice. It's an added flavor. It's a je ne sais quoi. It's an additional compartment.
Yeah, that's an unpopular opinion. All right.
Let's see.
You just said. I'm fine with what 815 just said.
What else?
What about musically?
Musically?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I saw one. Somebody wrote, they did not think the Beatles were the greatest band ever.
That's
and they had like 300 likes on that. And then dozens and dozens of comments under it of just like, just leave. Show yourself out. We're done.
I'd probably say that about Pearl Jam.
Hmm.
I mean, I love Eddie Vedder just for his Cub fandom and the whole thing, but I'm not, you know.
You're not feeling it with Pearl Jam.
I mean,
ever?
It's okay.
Did you ever?
No, never. All that Nirvana, Pearl Jam, that whole scene, no.
Really?
Nope.
We're roughly the same age, Mark. Like that was prime heyday time.
I know. It wasn't for me. It's too.
What were you doing in the early 90s?
In the early 90s?
Yeah.
Outside of watching Michael Jordan?
Yeah, but like, what were you listening to in the early 90s?
Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits, Bob Dylan, Bob Marley, The Beatles, The Stones.
Sure, I was listening to that too, but also
yeah,
that
right.
was not and, brand new music at the time.
Right, no, it wasn't. Fish, which yeah. was not, it wasn't hugely popular, but it was kind of a thing in college. It was a fun scene to be around. People loving Nirvana, it just wasn't, it was a little too... It's a little too rough on my sensitive ears, Amy. It was like a harder sound.
So we won't even touch the Riot Girl movement or any of that.
No, please don't.
That was
815 texting in, and he wonders why he's alone on New Year's. That's not nice. There, 815. Just because I don't like just because I don't like Nirvana.
I like this 815. Is it the same 815?
No, it's a different 815.
815 is on fire tonight.
312-981-7200. That's the text line. That's the phone line you'd like to jump on in.
Talk about unpopular opinions. If you would like to confess them, here's the time. One of us will probably support you because we don't agree on anything.
Christine in Bucktown for the 214 says, yes, Mark, R.E. Nirvana. She's totally with me.
Right,
thank you,
right
Christine.
On.
I see you. Maybe we can hang out on New Year's.
She's like, no.
Never know, Amy.
Never know.
By the way, I liked something that you have on Facebook.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I shared it. It had to do with me, too. But
okay.
But I did do that.
So let's see. More unpopular opinions. Go for it.
More unpopular opinions. Football is not the best sport.
Oh, what do you think the best
sport
is?
As much as I love being with Hamp and OB and Kaz and enjoy my Sundays and my Saturdays with Dave Ennett and Ted Albrecht and all that, and I love my football, what's the best sport? The game of basketball is number one, Amy, followed by the game of tennis, followed by the game of baseball, and then football would be number four.
Okay. Yeah. That's right, tennis. You're a big tennis guy.
I am a big tennis guy. So there you go. There's a sports one for you.
Okay.
That, again, probably will resonate with why I'm not have anything to do on New Year's Eve, but that's you got to be more manly, like your football guys.
Oh,
that are,
God,
that, that's,
come on.
See, well, that's, but that's a real thing.
Come on.
That's what goes on. Did you see the lunatics that went out there yesterday, 44,000 strong in 0-degree weather?
I did.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
I did. Okay, I have an unpopular opinion.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
I do not think that sex symbol Brad Pitt is really all that good looking.
What?
I don't.
Come on.
No, not my type. Not my scene.
Really?
No.
What don't you like about Brad Pitt's look? Is it too pretty? Is it too...
No, I don't. I don't think he's... He's ugly or anything. He's just like, he doesn't do it for me. And I don't see the appeal when people are like, oh, Brad Pitt. Like, I don't see it. I don't go Beatlemania over that guy. Never have. Never really like, he's never really.
Trying to think of, okay, I find Brad Pitt to be stunning. But I love Brad Pitt's look. And Clooney. And Johnny Depp. All those guys are my heroes. Is that awkward?
No. I mean, a little.
I mean, you just went with dead silence.
I didn't know. I didn't think you were going to do that. And you were like so confidently, like, you like, here's what you did. If you're listening at home right now, which I hope that you are, he like leaned in, put his face in his hand and like stared out across Michigan Avenue. And he was like, Brad Pitt, Clooney, like you were having a moment, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are my heroes. They're just.
I can tell.
They're just so good looking.
I can tell that you think that. In any case.
I'm comfortable enough to say it, Amy.
Good for you. I think you should.
But, I mean, how's this? I still think Madonna is super attractive.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people like, oh. Like, there was a video the other day. Did you see that where Madonna was shaking the rump?
Yeah.
A lot of visual on it.
Yeah.
People are like, that's gross. I'm like, I don't find that to be gross at all. In fact, I find it to be very attractive. And if Madonna would go out with me, I would entertain that all day.
Okay, if
she's a little bit older than me, but, you know, if I could hang with Madonna, are you kidding me? How old is Madonna nowadays? 50, 56?
She's like mid-50, yeah. Okay, I saw her in concert when she was about 53 or 54, and she stripped down to, like, boy shorts and a bra, and I was like, she is...
smoking.
Unbelievably smoking.
Right.
She's in incredible shape, and it's not, like, supermodel weight. Like, she is... she has power. She is strong. She has, like, gorgeous muscle tone, and she is very, very fit.
Yeah, and she's energetic, and she's interesting, and there's a million things about Madonna that would be incredibly cool to hang out with Madonna. Did you ever read her... have you ever been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland?
I have not, but I would love to go to that.
There was a... she wrote a letter when she was at Michigan when she was 18 years old. It is to a friend of hers, and she's just telling all her truths. It's incredible.
Of the things she wants to accomplish in her life?
And her experience in college. Like, I just don't want to be around on this college campus in the middle of nowhere. I want to go to New York. I think I'm good enough. And
wow.
All this teachers that were flirting with her and all this different stuff. It's fantastic.
That's interesting. Yeah. I would love to read that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's online somewhere. I'll check it out. We got to take a break. It is 9:30, so we got to take a break like 5 minutes ago is what we're going to do. Amy with Mark Carmen in for Justin Kaufman, back in just a bit on 720 WGN. WGN, Amy Guth and Mark Carmen in for Justin Kaufman. Thanks for being with us tonight. So, right before the break, we were talking about unpopular opinions, because that's a thing on Facebook right now. You say, voice your unpopular opinions, go, and people put all kind of things and sort of confess their things. We heard from 815 who said, there's nothing wrong with ketchup on a hot dog. You know what? I agree. I'm not going to police what anyone else eats. Eat whatever you want.
Another one from the 815. Carm, are you inebriated? A midsummer afternoon at Wrigley Field is better than the U.S. Open. Let's make WGN great again and give you your pink slip.
Ooh.
Sir, that is not nice. And by the way, the U.S. Open, one day of the U.S. Open is better than a day at Wrigley.
In your opinion.
No, it's a fact. These are pure facts. There's no disputing it.
Continue with the text messages.
312-981-7200. I love Wrigley Field. It's my favorite place on earth. Sporting place on earth. But the U.S. Open is my favorite sporting event.
You've made that clear.
Have I made that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Unpopular opinion. Can't stand the University of Notre Dame. Bunch of poser fans cheering for a French-named college with an Irish mascot.
Oh, my God.
Watching a bunch of Southern Baptists playing football. Hypocrites. LOL from the 224.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I want to back up Mark Carmen on the U.S. Open.
Oh, my God.
I do.
That's shocking.
Whoa, what did you almost say?
Having covered tennis, Mark.
Yeah.
And not to the level of the U.S. Open, but having covered the Tennis Masters Series up in Montreal, it is a great sport.
It's
to watch these people up close, and the men and women would alternate between Montreal and Toronto. It was just fantastic.
It's tennis is 7,000 times better live, and you appreciate what's going on.
Absolutely.
In the U.S. Open, it's like a 10-hour event. There's tremendous food. You're in New York. You're having a day. Wrigley's great. But that happens 81 times a year. The U.S. Open is just a two-week thing.
Hey, Martier, do you have any unpopular opinions that you would like to...
Oh, I bet he does.
...you would like to air right now?
Well, let's see. There's only an hour and 20 minutes left in the show, and I don't want to skirt any FCC sorts of things. I've got a lot of opinions.
Yeah,
I do.
I got another one.
Actually, you know what? Let me rewind, because I like what you said when you came in tonight, Amy, about media literacy and retweeting.
Yeah.
Here's an unpopular opinion, and I wish people would follow this and make it kind of a rule. If you're going to retweet something, especially an article, can you read the thing first? So if you retweet and then you comment about it, and then, you know, somebody jabs back and says, well, did you read the article? And then you hear nothing but crickets. Read the damn article.
Yeah.
Then you can retweet and comment.
I have tested that in particular and like put a vague headline on something that I wrote that I was tweeting just to see what people would do. And most people commented as if I was commenting on the news of the day and not about the thing, proving that, in fact, they had not clicked through
at all.
It's so insane. A lot of times, you know what I do, Martier? I will, a lot of times, if I feel like something makes just, it just, you know, is brilliantly written. It's a beautiful argument. It's very important to read something like that. I will often say, I'll share it on Facebook and I will say, hey guys, read this and don't internet read it. Like really read it. That means clicking through and reading more than the headline and the first couple of paragraphs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that drives me crazy that I have to say that, but I feel like I do because even in our language, we've switched to saying things like, oh, did you read that story in the New York Times? And someone will go, yeah, I saw that. Right? No, did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw it, but did you read it? And that's a thing that we have gotten into. And I'm telling you, Martyr, I could talk for 6 hours about media literacy because that is really one thing that keeps me up at night.
Well, that's the good and bad of Twitter. I mean, it really helps me out in my job because I get things at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So things are coming at me all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm trained. I actually go into the thing and read it and digest it and then spit it back out. So.
Right. And I think it's perfectly fine to if someone witnesses something and tweets it. I mean, I have seen people tweet about someone on a bridge or on top of a building, you know, like I think someone's about to jump. I mean, that's fine. But I think there's what we overlook a lot is that just because you have a Twitter account doesn't mean that the full grasp of journalism comes with it. And I don't say that to be exclusive or snotty about it. But at the end of the day, saying comma, police said, or adding the word allegedly to a tweet matters significantly.
Here's my unpopular opinion, right? And then I've got to go back and create another newscast here.
Okay.
Don't say citizen journalist. That drives me insane. This is a trade. It's a craft. And I've honed my skills over 20 plus years to try to get it right. Most times I do. Yeah. Sometimes I don't. There's no such thing as a citizen journalist. Doesn't exist. So knock it off.
Wow.
You know what?
Rob.
That was some like.
Rob, just a legit that was
some
anger.
Serious martyr right there.
See, you guys are living in a dream world. People just don't read. They don't want to read. They want to be told. And none of it matters. Like what you say on Twitter, like what's going to happen?
Well, it does matter because it can end your career if you do it wrong.
Well, for us, sure. But for like some, you know, somebody who's
not necessarily. If you're a prominent business leader, there was the story of Justine Seiko who got on a plane to South Africa. And by the time the plane landed, her career was ended because she made a very inappropriate comment about HIV.
Sure. Okay.
Saying if you have a public profile.
Right.
If you're a public person.
Well, okay. In that scenario, yes, you can't go on and spew hate on Twitter if you're a person in.
We shouldn't at all.
Of course not. Of course.
But there's
going to be consequences there.
To kind of tack on to what Martyr said, a friend of mine also is similarly vexed by the phrase citizen journalist. And she said, I don't know why it only gets applied to us because if you said like citizen brain surgeon, it's just going to fall apart. You're going to stand behind this idea that like of the training. And I'm not saying it's like. The same kind of training as a brain surgeon. It's certainly not, and it certainly can be taught, but nonetheless. Anyway.
I didn't know that was a thing, the old citizen journalist.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like it sort of diminishes the trade and the study of it. Here's my very unpopular opinion.
Okay.
I do not like chocolate.
That's the worst opinion I've ever heard.
Everything needs to be a fact with you.
That just can't be true. What don't you?
Okay. I don't really. It doesn't do it for me. Like I don't think it's necessarily gross, but I won't seek it out.
So okay.
If there's like a Neapolitan ice cream, I'll go strawberry and vanilla. You can have the chocolate.
This is amazing that we can even be in the same room with that. With that
I've been saying that for years, Carm.
That statement is unbelievable. Who doesn't like chocolate? Are you kidding? Like a 100 grand bar, Snickers. Nothing.
No, ugh, that doesn't sound good.
Chocolate chip cookie.
No, 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 no.
No.
Uh-uh.
No. No. No chocolate chip cookie.
No.
Chocolate cake.
No.
No. Fudge.
No.
No. Hot fudge.
No.
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 What do you get for dessert when you go out to dinner?
Anything like lemon-based.
So you get like a key lime, you like love a key lime pie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's so bad.
Like lemon bundt cake is the most delicious.
Lemon bundt cake.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. So delicious.
See, those of you who thought you were with Amy and didn't like me, now I'm gonna start winning some votes here.
Didn't realize we were competing.
Of course it's a competition.
Oh my god!
312-981-7200. Who doesn't like chocolate? Hey, there's a super unpopular text. I don't like Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I mean, I got to give props to the person who admitted that because I feel like that would be a hard thing to admit.
773 texting, and I'm so with you. I'd rather starve than eat chocolate.
Thank you. I don't know if I'd rather starve. It's just not my go-to. Okay, thank you. I have a non-chocolate supporter here. That's good.
815 saying, Wade Carm, you're a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I don't consider myself a journalist at all.
All right.
I am a talk show host. Occasionally, I do reporting. I'm certainly not a journalist. I don't do what Rob Martyr does. Rob Martyr is in the newsroom writing news stories. He can be credited as being a journalist. I don't think talk show, but like that's not what I'm shooting to do. Are you? Do you consider yourself a journalist?
I do.
Really?
I do.
How so?
How so?
Yes. How do you define a journalist?
I think that I bring journalism to this job. I don't think a radio talk show host is inherently a journalism job.
Right.
Some people come to it from like you come to it from different places. I mean, I came here from the Tribune newsroom.
Well, that's true.
So
that would make you a journalist.
Right.
So you're like a legit, like you're like uniquely qualified.
Well, I don't.
How
have
did
a,
I get in here? How
I don't have a Pulitzer yet.
Well, you should.
Give it time.
What are you going to get a Pulitzer for?
I'm going to get a Pulitzer for documentary work.
All right.
A multimedia project. That's what I'm going
to do. I want to see that happen, Amy.
Don't you worry. I'm on it.
Can I help you in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely not. You can just
I offered.
Stay.
Put it on the record. I offered.
There. Don't help. I'm just kidding. Any more unpopular opinions from text?
I don't like Christmas Story, E.T., or Seinfeld from the 224. let's see. A lot of people supporting you on the chocolate. Lemon and lime desserts all day long. Chocolate, no need. There's two of us. I don't like chocolate. Good for you. 312 coming in. I don't even think this is possible, but apparently it's possible. A lot of people don't like chocolate.
Yeah. And like you gave me a look like I was, like I had just taken my own head off and thrown it across the room.
Yeah.
But no, it's a thing. Like apple dessert or lemon. Oh my gosh, that's so delicious.
Mm. I mean, I like a lemon in a water.
No
lemon in water.
I mean, yeah, but that's not, I'm not going to say that's even close to, no. Glorify the lemon and make it into all the things. Can be all the things.
Somebody told me that the key to starting your day
mm-hmm.
is to squeeze a lemon in the water. It gets everything.
That's a real thing.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I do that.
Okay. How much? Just one lemon?
I do a half a lemon in a cup of hot water and a shot of espresso every day. That's my thing. Oh my God, did we just agree on something?
That's really nice.
There should be a confetti cannon right now.
Listen, I will follow you, Amy.
Follow?
Yes.
To where?
To wherever you're going.
I don't want you to do that. Why would you do that?
Well, it's I'm not exactly walking down the street with you, but if you tell me lemon in the shot of espresso in the morning and I can wake up.
Espresso. There's no X. Espresso.
Espresso.
Yeah.
Espresso.
Yeah, good.
That doesn't even sound good. Like espresso, like just this puddle of black in a small thing, and you're just like, do you sip it? I don't even like, I just, that, I don't understand how people do that.
Do you drink coffee at all?
Yes, with a significant amount of milk.
Oh, no.
Like at least a good inch of milk in there.
No.
Otherwise my stomach, no.
No. Shot of espresso and then lots of water all day, because you got to hydrate to get yourself through life.
Hydration is good. I'm with you on hydration. I think The Office was the dumbest, most unfunny show ever from the 630.
Oh, that's a controversial.
224 hates coffee. 224 hates ginger flavoring. 815 says, Amy, I thought you were marriage material, but I'm breaking up with you since learning you don't like chocolate.
Sorry to break your heart.
So that one, you will not marry that person in the 815.
Sorry, 815.
Well, these things, at least, but see, you didn't date for a long time and waste time.
Right, you didn't waste all that time on me, 815.
You put it all out there. That's another thing. I don't like cats. Can you?
Oh my God. What?
Oh, the worst. The worst? Cats are, I'm allergic. They don't do anything. You can't play with them. There's just no fun with a cat. Dog, you go outside, you throw the ball, they run around, they come back to you, they're happy to see you. Cat, you walk in, they run to the corner. They go under the bed.
The late, great Chairman Meow
Excuse me?
My cat, the late great Chairman Meow, he was extremely affectionate. He wanted me to carry him around all the time. He was always like laying on me and he was very snuggly. He played because I had never really had a cat before him. I always had dogs. And so I got him on board with Fetch. He did that. That was the thing he did. And we'll he see. Was playful and funny, and he would like, yeah, he was a cool cat. He was very chill, but very affectionate. So,
how long did it take for that cat to warm up to you?
Zero time, because I found him on the side of the road. He was days old. He barely even had his eyes open yet. And I was driving, and I was near the Raton Pass near Colorado and Colorado New Mexico border, and I had to drive, and he was so squirmy, so I put him in my shirt. And so he was near my heart. They always say, like, put a kitten near your heartbeat. So I just put him in my shirt and so I could sort of hold him with one hand. And I drove back to the last town I was in. And I got someone to help me. And because he was hurt. He'd been bitten. He had like a bite on him. And I got him, you know, I thought that was a Thursday. And I thought, well, I'll get him healthy and then find him a home. He just seems in peril right now. So I got him all patched up and took him to the vet and everything. And that was a Thursday. And by Sunday night, I was like, who's mama's kitty? Who's the baby? And I just loved him. He was so funny and sweet. So he was just so affectionate. I think because, like, he didn't take any time to warm up to me because he was laying in the desert, you know?
Can you do that voice one more time?
Nope.
That was great that came out there. That was beautiful. So you actually saw a cat on the side of the road. You stopped and you said, I'm going to rescue this kitten.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a good person.
Leave him there?
Yes, like everybody else. What have
like you?
That's correct. I would have left a cat on the side of the road, 100%.
Would you leave a dog on the side of the road?
Yes. I'm not picking up.
What?
I'm not picking up a stray dog.
Like a suffering creature that clearly is hurt. You would just drive by, like, nope. I got tennis to go to. Nah.
Correct. That's what.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's 100% what I would do. I mean, you want me? Do
you
want me?
Your heart is like a raisin.
Do you want me? Do not, you're not allowed to attack me because I would pick up some stranded.
That's not attacking. You've been like trying to psychoanalyze me all night. I can dish it back.
I don't think because I wouldn't pick up a stranded dog on the side of the road that would make me, that makes me a bad, less credible human being. I think it makes me honest. I think the fact that you actually picked up a cat and did that is incredible and you deserve massive props. I would not do that.
Thanks, I think.
That was a nice compliment for you.
All right.
Carm, birds are the best. Six cockatiels are great. Birds.
Birds are fine.
Oh.
What's wrong with birds? You just don't like animals, I think.
That's not true. I love dogs.
Okay.
I love dogs, and if I was ever a super...
You say that, but you were like dog sitting a few months ago, because I heard you on the air complaining incessantly about like a dog in your family. We got to take a break. Amy Guth, Mark Harmon, in for Justin Kaufman. Back in just a bit to settle this and hold him accountable for what he said about dogs. Here on 720 WGN. None. WGN. Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman. Hanging with you until 11 o'clock when we turn things over to Patty Vasquez, who apparently has a very big show tonight because there's equipment being hauled in, stuff happening. I smell a musical guest. It sounds like, I think it's Music Monday.
Music so, Monday, baby.
That'll be a thing. So, you know what I would like to talk about? Speaking of Patty Vasquez.
Can I ask you before you just move forward?
Sure.
When did a thing become a thing?
What? You're going to have to be more specific.
I hope I hope you can follow me, and I hope that everybody can follow me here. In the last 3 months, that's a thing. That's
not 3 months. That's been the last couple of years.
A thing became a thing.
Yes, when people
that's
said.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Language is fluid by nature.
It's kind of annoying, and it's kind of fun.
Embrace change. I don't always do. I love change, but something like language change drives me nuts. So I've made myself embrace that.
Like, is it wrong that when Florence Henderson died, I basically watched every episode of the Brady Bunch?
No.
When it's time to change, you got to rearrange. Remember when Peter was saying time to change? He was going through puberty.
Oh my God, I can't remember that.
When it's time
to change.
The Brady Bunch taught me if you really follow the Brady Bunch, it taught you everything you ever need to know. Know that, Amy. Go back and watch those episodes. Now continue on. I'm sorry. Thing became a thing.
You just like told me four things to do.
You hate when I do that. You really...
just like told told me.
Will you please go back and watch the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, maybe. I'll get around to it. Or not. Whatevs. I'm a grown-ass woman, and I'll do what I want. Okay, so here's what I would like to talk about.
Okay.
It is irrational fears. And so this came up last week. I was filling in for Patty Vasquez, and esteemed producer Craig and I were talking about this, and it was really cracking me up because listeners called and shared some irrational fears that I thought were so interesting. So 312-981-7200, if you would like, because we had to cut it short. We just like ran out of time. And so I would like to go there and talk about irrational fears. Here's mine. I believe that, I'm setting it up wrong. I have an irrational fear of space heaters because I believe they are little death traps and they're going to burn us down. There are safety precautions. They're made quite safely now. The old ones, remember, they had the open coil that you could see them heat up and look like a toaster. They don't really make those anymore. They're like quite safe now. Nonetheless, I was talking about my fear of space heaters. A caller called in and he told me to like check out a particular kind of heater when I was at the hardware store, which I have not done yet, but I have my Home Depot list working. I'll get there. But he was talking about like an oil contained one. He's like, don't worry, it's totally safe. And I'm like, there's oil in it. Like that sounds less safe. But the thing that like emerged on that segment is that how irrational this fear is, because Craig said to me, you know, well, why are you afraid of them? I said, well, I had a house fire when I was a kid, and so it's really scary. He goes, oh, because of a space heater? I was like, no, because of a fireplace. He said, so are you afraid of the fireplace? I said, no, I love a good fireplace. It's totally irrational, but that's the source of my angst, is like, I'm like, oh, it's a space heater. It's spooky. It's going to burn the place down the minute I take my eyeballs off of it.
Well, it's interesting because you just shared off the air, I hope you don't mind, that you have an electric blanket.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's not.
If for somebody who has space heater issues.
It's specific to a space. I don't know if it's issue. That's a little bold.
Okay.
But like, I have this irrational fear that the space heater is going to catch fire, whereas I'm willing to fall asleep with a blanket version of a space heater on top of me.
Right.
That does not scare me.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's completely irrational, and I acknowledge that fully.
See, I'm not completely certain that it's irrational, because I do think there is danger there. But most likely, I guess it is. Space heaters, properly used, or completely safe.
They're fine.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you got? Give me an irrational fear.
Let's see. Irrational fears.
Irrational. Not rational. Irrational.
Did I say rational?
You did.
Irrational fears. Well, I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, this is kind of a popular one. I don't like flying. I feel like when I go onto a plane, I tap the plane twice.
What?
Yeah, I give.
What's that do?
I just want to give
for
it
your
a,
own.
It's my own thing. It's so, a little love, Pat. I feel like sharing this is going to jinx me on my next flight. That's going through me right now. But I give the plane his little tap. What's up, my buddy? Let's do this.
Like you high five the plane.
Yeah, just a little pat, little love tap.
So what would happen? Let's say you were sprinting to make the plane,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't get a chance to tap the outside. Would you? What would your reaction be during the flight?
I'd sit down and have remorse and think that we were going down. When I get on the plane, I do it. And when I get off the plane, I do it. A little tap. Little love.
If you do that, I want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Okay. I mean, hey, our irrational stuff is our irrational stuff.
What else do I do that's really...
I used to have a big fear of flying, and I worked my way through it. It was tough, though, because I used to be very nervous about landing and takeoff and used to sit there and go, okay, if I fell from the sky from this height, I could probably make it.
Who would do that?
Me.
You would sit there and...
I used to have a fear of... I mean, it never stopped me, but I would just be a little anxious on the plane. And I got myself through it, and now I'm the person that's helping everybody else.
312-981-7200, irrational fears. How'd you get through that, Amy?
Long story, but I decided I needed to. I was like, I can't. This is not productive to have this. I need to get through this. So I did it piece at a time, like heights.
I mean, I'm not the worst flyer ever, but when turbulence does occur...
It's a little unnerving.
Yeah. I mean, I'm grabbing on and I'm talking to the Almighty the whole thing. That's where I go.
Well, a friend of mine said something that kind of got me abruptly on the path of letting go of my air travel stuff. And it was, so what if... So what if that was your last moment on this earth?
Okay.
Do you really want to spend it in a panic?
Yeah,
no.
But there's, no,
absolutely
you don't,
not.
But
of
there's no
not.
Way around it. I mean, if your plane's going down, let's say.
Yes, but.
Yeah.
But, like, what's it going to do? It's not going to do anything. And so I kept telling myself that. I would just be like.
Oh, wow.
What's it going to do to panic? Nothing. I can't control it. I don't know how to work. I don't know how to fly a plane. I've never attempted to. It will do absolutely nothing. But if I'm about to, like, if my life is about to end, it's going to end with extra worry. Like, don't panic unless you have to.
I mean, that's just way too rational right there. That's so incredible.
But you can trick your brain. You can train your brain to believe things.
I mean, I'd like to think if I was in that situation and we were just, let's say me and you were on that plane, Amy.
Oh,
I would like
I
to think
it's a short flight.
Well, so mean. Good old at the Karma on Twitter, by the way. Follow me. I'll mention you on the air. It's good for you. It's good for me. I judge my life by Twitter followers.
Strange little way you just work that in.
At the Karma Twitter. Please follow me. Makes me feel good. I would like to think I would turn to you and say something really nice. Amy, I'd like to tell you that I thank you for all the wisdom that you have provided
no,
me.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, you'd
no,
be
I
screaming
wouldn't.
Like, crap.
I wouldn't, and I'd be crying, and I don't know what I'd be, but I'd like to, in utopian world, we're on the plane, it's going down, I'd like to turn to you and say, Amy, you know, it's really, you've really benefited my life being around you. And getting to host however many shows we got to host at WGN Radio. And the people that texted in and said all nice things about you and mean things about me. That's okay. That's cool. It was,
I'm letting all that go.
On the other hand,
enjoy it.
Right. I'm not taking that to the grave. I'd like to think that I would do all that. But in reality.
You'd be yelling.
Yeah. And I think you probably would be too.
That's the point, though. If we actually were, that's one thing. But if it's turbulence. There's a moment in which, like, you can worry that you're going to crash versus you're actually going to crash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, don't panic unless you have to. Just keep a cool head.
Yeah, no, great. I'm not going to get underneath it.
But I also, like, worked through it. Like, heights was sort of a thing. Like, one day in my 30s, I woke up and I was afraid of heights. And so I had to work that out, too.
Will you go?
And then I got rid of
it. Will you go out on the glass platform on the Sears Tower?
Yeah, I have not, but I would.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not like that at all. But I did, just to say I did it, but I did not like it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know that I would like it either. But fear is only in our head. And there's, in fact, quite a bit of liberation in stepping through it. I mean, you only have to step through it once, and then it's gone. It's completely dissolved. It's the most magical thing you can do is to step through something you're afraid of and confront it, because it completely dissolves on the spot. Like, on the other side of that breath, you're not afraid of that thing anymore. It's like it's like pull back the curtain to reveal the guy that's Oz, you know? It's like suddenly it's dissolved. So when I catch myself being afraid of something, I get kind of excited because I'm like, okay, here's a thing I can break and I can run at it.
I like that. Let's approach some fear.
Yeah.
773, Violetta. Who I believe does traffic on this very radio station, has 7,000 fears that she's texting in. She starts with, the hair dryer will eat all her hair. And then she moves on to big sewer caps. She thinks she's going to fall inside of those.
Well, she's a tiny little woman.
She is a tiny little woman. This is true. And I think there was one more that I just missed. Oh, yeah. I think the eyelash curler is going to cut off my eyelashes almost every day. I think that.
There's like a little cushion. It won't hurt you.
The whole thing that women do, just the fact that you have to do that, eyelash curlers.
You don't have to. You can choose.
A lot of, okay, that's true. That's true. You don't have to. Good point. Good point.
I don't do any of that.
Good for you. I'm proud of that. 815, I'm afraid of escalators. Afraid they'll suck me in.
I got a shoelace caught in an escalator one time, and it was a little creepy. I'm not going to lie. It's not fun. So I'll hear that one, too. I hear you. I see you. I hear you.
847, go Amy. Mark needs major advisement. major advisement in bold.
Why are you really?
Why do I relay this? Because I read what people say about me. If you want to say negative things about me, there's a great chance I'll say it on the air. Of course, when somebody texts in something nice, I'm going to emphasize that. But, mm-hmm. You know, I think it's okay.
Fair. You're willing to take it.
Yeah. Reaction.
Yeah.
Love me, hate me, just don't not notice me. Please notice me. Notice me.
Oh, boy.
Notice me.
Oh, boy.
Well done.
Okay. We're going to take a break.
We have to leave on that.
Amy Guthin, Mark Harmon, and Justin Kaufman. We'll be back in just a little bit. We want to hear from you about irrational fears. Testify. Let's hear it. 312-981-7200. What are you afraid of that maybe you feel a little sheepish about? Tonight's the night. Let's tell it. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. WGN. Amy Guthin, Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman tonight. We have been talking about irrational fears.
A lot of them on the text line here.
What you got?
224, fearful of driving on bridges over water.
Oh, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah, I'm not into that. Like to get over as quick as possible, especially if it's one of those graded bridges with, you know, going over the Mississippi or something like that.
Or well, I think this one out here in Michigan, you can feel it shake when you're driving over it and you're like, just stay up there, please. I know this bridge moves.
Yeah, the Michigan Avenue bridge right by the Trib Tower is completely terrifying. Although half the time when I walk across it, I one of these days I'm going to jump in.
Why are you saying that?
Well, because I think it'd be fun and I'd survive. I think you'd be okay. I'm not going to do this. I'm really not going to do this. Let me just be clear. I'm not going to do that. But I do think.
Is this a cry for help?
No.
All right.
No, but I just, like, I like challenges. That doesn't have to be something that...
I think it will kill you.
I don't think you would die. I don't think it's a very good idea. I think it's terrible that I'm talking about it on the radio. I apologize.
I think the fact that you may or may not and that you acknowledge that tells you probably should not do that.
One of my great moments in WGN radio history, Amy, if I may, was when the great Jimmy DeCastro and Jeff Hill and I lost the football pool.
Sure.
They made me walk from the station out to the bridge, take off my shirt, and throw it on a boat going past. I hope that now that Jimmy doesn't work here anymore, it's legal that I can bring this to the airwaves. But I threw it, perfect throw, T-shirt, right onto the old...
Why? What was the T-shirt? Was it
legal? It was a standard shirt, and I fired it, and it landed right on the tourist boat, and perfect toss, didn't hit anybody.
It was
anybody.
Like the tour boat. It wasn't like someone's personal...
I probably can get fined for doing that.
You can.
This is alleged. It never really happened. I mean, but statute of limitations have gone. It's a long time ago.
Okay, then. We are talking about irrational fears.
Long time ago.
Hi, Joy. You're on WGN. How are you?
Really well. A couple of different things. One of the things you just mentioned was about the escalators being an irrational fear with the shoelace or feel like it's saying, oh, she's going to get sucked into it. Some of the fears you're mentioning really are not that irrational. I used to work security for a store and have seen people take wheelchairs, take shopping carts down the escalators behind other people that are on it, drop the shopping cart. But the guy that used to fix our escalator at the store I was at said that they've actually had to, on different occasions, go back and retrieve, I'm sorry to be gross, but retrieve body parts, fingers, other things. Kids wearing flip-flops, the side of the flip-flop can get caught between the side of it and suck their foot into it.
Wow.
So some of their fears really are not irrational.
Yeah, that's fair.
And also, you know, the bags that people carry, like a briefcase-ish kind of messenger bag that has handles to carry it with, and it has a strap for your shoulders. I get irrational fears maybe for other people. I see them carrying it by the handles with the strap. And their foot is like inches from getting caught in it and falling. I've seen people go down escalators because of that and just fall in stores. So just that kind of stuff. My irrational thing is food that's in the freezer. I can't remember when I put it in and if it's still good. And it's terrible to throw stuff away. But it's like irrational fears about food getting somebody else sick.
You know. So it's perfectly safe to dine at your house.
A lot of things you're mentioning are like, really could happen. So
I know I'm sitting here checking a list too. I'm like, yep, I have that. Yep, I have that. Yep, I have that.
Joy,
absolutely.
Joy, I've got a Lou Malnati's pizza in my fridge. It's been there for about 10 days and it's just boxed in the fridge. I'm going to have a slice when I get home tonight. That's a guarantee.
That's a good thing. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks very much, Joy.
Why'd you have to go creep out our guest by saying the things she was afraid of?
Well, but I'm going to do it.
Here's mine that's not. I don't know if it's that irrational, even though I acknowledge it's completely in my head and I have nothing to base this on. Needles.
Oof. Oh, I'm with you.
Oh, I don't like them.
Yeah,
I don't like them. Don't want them.
So when you're giving blood or whatever.
I do not get blood.
Oh, not. Okay. When you have to.
Like at the doctor, you have to draw blood.
When you get a physical.
Yeah.
So you don't watch when it's coming out of you.
I even make a deal with them. It's about the crook of the elbow. That is like, I don't even want to say it on the air because I'm afraid I'm going to pass out. It's so creepy to me. So I have excellent veins. And so I like point to one on my forearm. I'm like, go here. They're like, it's going to hurt. I was like, it ain't about pain. It's about a needle in the vulnerable, tender little spot, crook of my elbow. I cannot.
Well, at least, okay. Well, that's good. You're...
I make a deal. I don't complain without a solution, without a counteroffer.
Yeah, I just turn my head, look the other way. Ugh. And I don't enjoy the prick, and I don't enjoy...
None of it.
None of it's terrible.
It's not even about pain. It's about, like, don't take my blood. That's mine.
Yeah.
Also, well, it's a needle.
I get it. You're helping me live a longer life here.
Allegedly.
Let's see here. There's a lot of texts here. A lot of texts. Carmen, if you're going to jump off a bridge, can you please do it from the San Francisco bridge?
Oh, my God.
872, I have a fear of Mark. That's not nice. 847 says, challenge yourself realistically. Go skydive.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you done it?
No, but I would. I totally would.
Yeah, I don't know about the whole skydive thing.
I stood at the top of Table Mountain in Cape Town, right at the edge of that mountain, and kind of looked up. That's way up there, and it wasn't scary. It was kind of like awe-inspiring and powerful, just like I can't believe that I'm up here. You know, it was that. So, I mean, I like to challenge myself to stuff like that. But so, I would skydive.
I would do it, but I don't know how my body would react to it. I would be worried that I'd be one of those people that would need to take a shower right afterwards. Right.
Sure,
708, check toilet for spiders. Let's get off that skydive.
Oh, that one is so scary. Oh, my God. That's so true.
Which part? That there's a spider in the toilet?
No. This is about, like, ladies have to sit down.
Yeah.
And so there's a fear. You're sitting on that seat.
Yeah.
To tinkle.
Yeah.
There could be an insect right underneath that would crawl out.
Oh, underneath.
And, like,
I get it.
There's a terrible fear that some awful creature will, like, jump out from underneath the lid and might actually, like, touch your bum. And that is horrifying. That's so scary. So,
that actually happened to a guy,
no.
I think, in the Philippines, and it was a snake.
No.
Came up the toilet. I kid you not. Came up the toilet.
I can't with that.
And grabbed the unmentionable. I'm not making it up.
God.
Did he lose the unmentionable?
I'll get back to you on that.
He's going to find out. He's going to verify that information. Amy Guth, Mark Carmen, in for Justin Kaufman. We're talking about fears. We started with irrational ones. Now we're just talking about fears. Feel free to give us a call, 312-981-7200, if you would like to air and confess a fear that you have. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. I'm going to let that play for a minute. That sounds so good. Amy Guth and Mark Carmen in for Justin Kaufman. Thanks for being with us tonight.
I feel like we're smoking a cigarette, having a whiskey, and we're at the... What's that place? Lawrence and Broadway.
The Green Mill?
Yeah, that. There you go.
No, that's not really the Green Mill vibe.
Haven't been to the Green Mill in... at least 10 years, but every time I drive by there, I think those people are really cool.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Those are some cool people. That's why I don't go in there. Wouldn't want to take the cool factor down, Amy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
That is a thing.
You know what else is a thing? We've
yes.
been talking about we've been talking about fears tonight, and we started off talking about irrational fears, but we kind of blew the doors off that pretty quickly and said, no, let's just say fears are fears. I mean, they're all, you know, it's all... things we build in our own minds to protect us one way or another. But we've been talking about lots of them. We've gotten a lot of texts, but also Oliver has been patiently waiting. Hi, Oliver, you're on WGN. What is your fear?
It's not even my fear. It's a hysterical, morbid, petrified fear that my wife has of mice and insects and how they're just attracted to her because of it. So years back, I live in Elmhurst, we had a problem with field mice getting into our house. So even though I'm allergic, my wife convinced me that possibly getting a couple of cats would be a good thing. And I said, all right, I'll just, you know, load up on Benadryl, we'll be fine. So they were very rambunctious, very energetic. We get the cats in the house, having a lot of fun the first couple of days. I didn't have any bad reactions. I said, okay, maybe this will work. So my wife had seen in the fall some field mice in the house by the chimney, by the fireplace and other places. And she got so petrified that she would not let my daughters, who have a bedroom on the second floor, sleep in their own room. she opened up the sleeper sofa and forced the kids to sleep with her on the sleeper sofa because of the mice, because of her fear of mice. So lo and behold, what ends up happening? She tells me one night, I hear the cats. The cats, they're running around in the middle of the night, and she's talking to me frantically about this entire situation because of how bad of a fear she has of mice. And I said, okay, good. Well, maybe the cats will catch them, and, you know, we won't have to worry about them. Not a problem. The next night, I get woken up at about 2:30 in the morning by a primal caveman-like scream that didn't even sound human. It was just, you know, like somebody was murdering her in her sleep. I get up and I come running to see her standing on the top of the bed with the kids in her arms, and they weren't even small enough to really carry the kids, but she had them like up in the air. And I'm like, what the hell happened? She goes, the cats caught a mouse, dropped it on the pillow in front of me and kept meowing until I opened up my eyes. And when she opened up the eyes, the pillow next to her had a mouse on it. And the cat was like, ta-da.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Hysterical. And she goes, we're selling the house. I'm never staying in Elmhurst. I don't want to live here anymore. She just went like for weeks. It like mentally messed her up.
Wow.
And I have other stories that involve hamsters, ferrets, and chickens with my wife that are just absolutely hysterical. We went on real quickly, went on a vacation to Puerto Rico once. We rented a minivan, and as we're driving the minivan from the airport, we had just gotten the thing. I look over and I see there's a roach on my wife's thigh. She's wearing shorts and she doesn't feel it.
Oh, God.
And I'm driving and I'm looking at the roach and I'm looking at my wife and I'm just giggling. And I look back and then I look, my wife is wearing a t-shirt where her arms are exposed on top. And I look over and now she has a roach on her shoulder and one on her thigh and she doesn't feel it. Okay. Oh. And I'm looking at the roaches and I'm looking at my wife and I start laughing. And then I look at my wife's leg and then she looks down at her leg. I swear to God, I thought she was going to do an ejection seat maneuver out of the top of the vehicle with the way that she starts grunting and she starts going one of these numbers and trying to swipe the things off of her. And when we call the rental car place, we said there's roaches all over the inside of the van. And they're like, yeah, so it's a native, you know, creature to the island. And I'm like, holy crap, that's okay. You guys are nuts. But yeah,
Oliver.
And there were other instances, but yeah, those are a couple of my favorite ones.
Does she know that you have called us tonight? Yeah,
Oliver, have you ever heard of the word happy wife, happy life?
Oh, I'm well beyond repair on that. That ship has sailed, man.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing those stories with us tonight. Oh, my gosh. I was cringing during both of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, the bugs don't bother me. Honestly, the mice and other stuff doesn't bother me personally. I really don't have a fear, but I do have a little superstition thing that I do every time I get on a plane.
Oh, what's that?
I have to touch the outside of the plane with my right hand, and I always say a little prayer, and I can't say it internally. I have to mouth it. So I have like my own superstitions about things, but here's the thing: I love to fly. If I could fly five days a week, I would. I absolutely, and I've gone skydiving too, and it was liberating. It was amazing.
Well, God forbid you and Mark Harmon are ever on the same flight because
good
you're
call,
gonna,
Oliver.
It'll take 10 minutes for us all to get on. Thank you for the call, Oliver. Have a great night.
God bless, guys. Take care.
Thanks. Bye bye.
I'd hang with Oliver. We could sit together. We could do a whole ritual. Be a thing.
That guy's a great storyteller.
He really
I
was.
How he set those stories up.
I think we should get Oliver a spot on the station. There's got to be a spot for Oliver.
He could
Oliver,
be special correspondent for something.
Oliver's podcast, brought to you by Oliver. You can listen to it at oliver@wgnradio. Yeah, oliver.org. Oliver was solid. I think that Oliver needs to be nicer to his wife, perhaps.
Well, he said that ship sailed, so he can do whatever he wants.
I guess this is true.
You know, a couple of other people have weighed in on social media. Clowns, as a fear. I think yes and no, because I think somewhere it got cool to say you were afraid of clowns. I'm not saying people cannot actually be afraid of clowns, because you certainly can be. And like the clowns popping up in England, just like in the middle of the night, just standing there, just being serious. That sure doesn't help. But I think somewhere it got cool to say, oh, I'm really freaked out about clowns. When like, no, I don't love them, but I'm not freaked out by them.
I'm not a freaked out by clowns guy, but I'm also the whole concept of being a clown or being a mascot. Like, I kind of want to be a mascot once, but sure. then to go out there every day and sort of do the same thing. Like, there's something about that mentality that I'm confused by.
Confused by?
Yes. Like, how would you want to, like, act like a 3-year-old?
Well, it'd probably be fun. Like, tell me the person who's got the Benny the Bull job is not having a whole hell of a lot of fun.
He loves it.
And it shows, right?
Well, yeah, the guy that used to have it just retired.
I know.
And now the new guy seems like he's having a grand old time. But just to do it, like, all the time, I don't know. And Benny the Bull's
That's too much joy for you to handle.
It is too much. It's too much joy. That's right. No, that's not nice, but it's true.
You said it. I'm just...
No, you started with you. You threw it out there. It is too much joy, though.
Yeah.
You don't think that's weird?
Tell
being
me.
A mascot? Like, yeah. Every day? Like, do it all the
if
time?
If it brings you joy, no, that's fine.
Maybe I'm just jealous. Maybe I deep down want to be a mascot. That could be it.
Maybe.
Deep down, I want to be a mascot. And get all that attention, just run around and dunk the basketball and have the United Center go crazy for you and, like, bang on the drum, the whole thing.
Whatever you need to do, guy.
Those guys make good, he makes good dough, Benny the Bull.
I remember that when the guy retired, it kind of, the salary came out. I was like, what?
Yeah, he's like making 200 grand or something crazy.
I'm in the wrong field doing that.
You got to be really good to be that gig's not easy. Does a lot of things. Throws the ball over his head and hits 50 footers.
Oh, you've got to do a lot of things. And you got to be able to do, like, car wheels and stuff. And
I mean, he's talented, dude.
I'm not saying I could do it. I'm just saying it'd be fun to try and make that kind of dough.
920 says, can't use a bathroom on a plane. Flew to Ireland. Never use it. That's Scott.
Oh, my God. Wow. Champion bladder.
773, I'm freaked out by bare feet. 214, giving props to the cap, saying to the cat, said it did its job. Cat did its job. He wanted to deliver the mice.
You're supposed to, if your cats bring you something like that, you're supposed to praise it.
Right.
Because it's surrendering its prey to you.
Right. He wanted some love. Good job. Like a nice, what do you give a cat when a cat does well? A nice little warm thing of milk?
No. Goes on? You just pet them and love them and give them like a little treat. They like have little, catnip, whatever. Every cat's different.
I didn't know that like Benadryl could work. Like, can you really, if you're allergic to cats, just take something, you'll be fine? Depends
on how severe your allergy is. Some people get allergy shots.
Okay. Because historically in the old dating world, if you have a cat, like, that's it. Nope, I can't do it. Over.
I'm sure tons of women just started crying themselves to sleep because you said that. Women with cats.
Amy is legit mean to me.
You set it up. You make it so easy for me to be mean.
Legit mean to me.
Hi, Sue. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good evening. Wow. You guys are great together.
Thank you.
And I don't have so much of a problem with rodents as I do the insects. But anyway, I digress. This doesn't always work, but I deal with some social anxiety type of issues. And anyway, going all the way back to kindergarten, I used to fidget around with my hands and so on because I was nervous talking to people. Mm-hmm. And my little friends and family tried to help me out and so on. And just one day, I had a really great kindergarten teacher. At the time, her name was... of all names, Wendy Will. And she said, one day she said, you know, you don't need to do that. You don't need to fidget with your hands like that. And it hit me some way that nothing else that anybody said to me. And I thought, oh, I just don't need to do that. And I guess you kind of say maybe exposure therapy or something like that. And I've thought about that different times in my life. And like maybe it was Mark was saying about heights and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go out on the ledge or the edge, whatever it's called, and skydive and do different things like that. And it's hard. It's easier said than done, mind over matter. But sometimes I think back to that and I'm like, you don't need to do that. And I thought,
isn't that so interesting how sometimes
just hit
like,
me.
Like such a simple and beautiful phrase can just land in the right way and you're suddenly changed just from hearing a few words. Isn't that so interesting? I love stories like that. Thank you for sharing this one.
Thank you so much and happy holidays.
Thank you.
And
thank
Sue, you're not like a lot of other people out there. Your story is you're not alone, Sue. A lot of people
Thank you so much.
Have a good
Thank
one,
you.
Sue. Thank you.
You too.
I am endlessly fascinated by that. I mean, I love words anyway, but I think that's so interesting when just like the simplest little phrase can land on somebody so well and just and shift their perspective so radically.
It is interesting what people are able to hear.
Like, are your shoes off? Oh my God, you just put a foot up on the counter.
Is this a real reaction?
This is a real reaction. I just looked over and saw a dirty sock
hold on a second.
Top of the counter at WGN Radio as if there is no regard for this fine station.
I'm in a relaxed mode. Oof. Talking to you. It makes for good radio, I think, just to be calm and to have a nice connection with you. And
Put your foot between us further that.
I just sat back and was enjoying my time. And I apologize if that took you out of your game, but this sock is
I did not expect to look over and see a sock.
This sock has been on my foot for like 3 hours. It's as clean as can be.
All right,
and I am freshly showered, and I couldn't be more pristine for you right now, Amy. Just know
for
that.
For this
station, for this broadcast.
There you go.
214. Ew, dude. And I like the 708 text. Has Oliver ever heard of an exterminator? Oliver.
Well, but sometimes they're like you bring an exterminator out and it's just a thing, especially if you're like around a wooded area or something. Anyway, we got to take a break.
Oliver could have at least tried an exterminator.
He might have.
Maybe he did. Okay, fine.
Sometimes they're expensive. You never know.
Oliver would never put his foot up on the counter.
I'm sure he would not. No. Absolutely not.
Love Oliver.
Taking a break here. Amy Guth and Mark Harmon in for Justin Kaufman. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
What'd you get me for the holidays, Amy?
What?
What'd you get me?
Swift kick in the ass. I mean, what? Nothing. What did you get me?
Well, I was going to give it to you on Saturday. Are you working this Saturday evening? Will there be a Saturday night special?
Nope. I'm preempted.
Well, then I just have to wait till next year.
Uh-huh.
I got you a candle set.
I'm sure you did.
Lemon.
Non-chocolate.
Non-chocolate. Beautiful waffigation of a candle for you.
Waffigation.
Do you have a lot of candles in your organized place? I learned a lot about you tonight.
I guess you did. Yeah, I'm a candle lady, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You a candle guy?
I have some candles.
Are we really going to close the show talking about candles?
I like a good candle. Veronica Carter brought in candles. I purchased those.
She does that.
And a blue candle, a yellow candle.
Nice.
They serve, it freshens.
All your candle needs.
All your candle needs. Freshens up the place. Don't have to use the standard apparatus.
What?
Like a lamp.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about? What in the world?
I don't know where your head went.
It wasn't necessarily gross. I was just like, what does that even mean?
Well, I thought you were thinking about something.
No, I promise you I was not thinking about something.
Okay, you wouldn't.
I can assure you.
I get it. A little belated shout out to Kathy the bird lady who sent in her pictures of her four birds.
What kind of birds?
What are they called? They're cockatiels.
Is that the white one?
No, like there's a gray one. There's a yellow one.
Aww.
There's
those are cute with the little yellow, and they look like they're kind of blushing. They have like the little pink or orangey kind of cheeks. They're so cute.
They're adorable.
You don't like any creature.
I love dogs. I love horses. I like humans.
I love it. I love dogs. I love horses. I hesitate, like humans.
Right.
That's
kind of like I moderately enjoy, like if I go into a restaurant, there's an aquarium, I'll watch. But like people that actually have aquariums in their home, I think that's a little much.
Really?
Yes.
It's very chill to have. Like that's a very soothing aquatic thing.
Yeah, but it's a lot of work to be soothed. Can't you just put on some music?
Can't you just rock the Kenny G or something?
It just seems like too much for me. Look at that. And then you're like paying huge money for some fish who like you never get to talk to the fish. Like, what's the point? There's just no, like, you don't get to play with the thing. There's no bonding. I want a bonding. Like, me and the dog, we become buddies. Belle the dog.
Who's Belle?
Belle was, when I was living with Kate and Amy, Belle the dog. I loved Belle the dog.
Who are they? I have no idea any of the characters you're mentioning
Kate
in this
and Amy
play right
were,
now.
That was when I was the Jack Tripper lifestyle in, late, in mid-20s to 30. And
sure.
So I lived with Kate, who I went to college with, and then she brought in an Amy, and then there was Belle the dog. Okay. Belle the dog.
You say that like I'm supposed to know that.
Well, I mean, come on.
No.
You don't need to know anything there. It's just there was two women and a dog.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I enjoyed the dog.
But you said it like I should know that, and you enjoyed the dog. What kind of dog?
Black Lab.
Oh, those are sweet.
So good.
You know what dogs I love? There's a Twitter account called Samoyed Bot, and all it does is tweet pictures of Samoyeds. And I follow a lot of news organizations and a lot of things like that. So my timeline is all for information mostly. And then in the middle of that, you'll like get this little fluffy little white dog. It's just like a little joy bomb in the middle of the day.
I like a good – that's awesome.
Samoyed Bot.
724, you learn she likes clean feet, Mark. That's a good one, 724.
Call me weird, but – you know, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. 779, fear of falling when getting to the seats at the United Center and standing up to cheer.
I'm with you on that.
872, I have a fear of Mark's socks.
People really beat you up on the text line. They're really after you.
I love them.
I kind of like this.
These are my peeps.
I guess so.
Taxi driver Bob, I see you. I'm not reading what you just wrote, so just but let you know I do see you, taxi driver. That's
was it mean or inappropriate or both?
It's just a little gross and not necessary.
We don't need that.
But love you though.
But we needed to take a break and then get you to news with our friend Rob Martier and then turn you over to Patty Vasquez's show. So we shall do that now. Always a pleasure, Marcus.
Amy, I enjoyed it greatly. Thank you for allowing me in the studio tonight.
Certainly. Oh, we'll take a break and be right back. 720 WGN.